Greetings. This is James Gillen. I'm your host, and it's good to be back from Mexico. Got a lot of news. There's a few things going up, but we are kind of getting bombarded by coronal mass ejections, and the fields are down. The magnetic fields are very low. We're having some gamma ray bursts, so it's kind of throwing people into their process as usual. And trust me, I've experienced this firsthand. It's been pretty crazy out there. I want to give some thanks to some people I met down in Mexico. And Dr. Ciaran Scheller and his beautiful wife, Cecilia. He does the dark field microscope technology and radionics. And, you know, he has some pretty interesting cures for things. So we're going to be working with him and Dr. Diego also, who uses ozone therapy, stem cell therapy, a lot of other therapies to help out. And, you know, I went to him because I had some big knots in my back from a back injury, and he had these this special formula, these needles. He shot that in there, and it totally, everything just let go and then recalibrated itself. It's just amazing. You can hear my voice. They did do some spraying down there, and there were some very nasty viruses going around down in Mexico, which we'll talk about later. So I am a little under the weather right now, and my voice is hopefully it'll hold out, you know, with a nice glass of hot tea throughout the program. So, and, some good friends down there, Chantel, Mary Pat, Lori and Fred, you know, those are the people I see down there every time I go around. And then the Serena sisters at Villa del Palmar, you know, Megan, Jeeva, and Genevieve, and Eva, Leah, Penelope, and they hosted some gatherings there, and we did some major clearing on the town, and they helped with doing some of the process work we were doing there, and, you know, even helped me out with my own experience, so in clearing some of the things that I was having to deal with down there in Mexico. The in the town of Sayulita, Mexico, where I went, it's very dear to me. And Susanna at the Weichel Center, which are the Native Americans in the area, hosted a talk. And so I went down there and I did a talk, and the place was packed. There was standing room only. And it was very, very well received. And after that talk, it seems like people were just coming over and over to find out more, to, you know, experience the transpersonal release sessions. And it was a big hit. And then later on, we went to the Jaharamara, a beautiful retreat center there, and did another talk. Was hosted by Sajila. And again, you know, some very wonderful people were there, to experience that and assist, you know, in holding the energy. I want to thank Sajila there at Jaharamara and also give a shout out to Isis at Pachamama. She was also, you know, a wonderful experience, a wonderful being to hang out with for a while and to get back on center. The, just some beautiful people down there. There's some amazing healers down there in Sayulita. It's another vortex, and we're creating a network down there so we can continue to work with these people and help them with their centers and actually create a healing center and a network where we can send people that actually need physical healing, you know, serious physical healing. We don't have those facilities here. We mainly work with emotional, spiritual, you know, mental, emotional processing and things of that nature, spiritual initiations and things. But, basically the work there is just amazing, you know, especially, you know, I watch, you know, my blood. I got to take a look at my blood and see a lot of the things that we've been bombarded from the sky and, within my blood. And also watch the process that they have there to heal that, including Morgellons and a few other nasty creatures that, you know, have been created. Speaking of creating nasty creatures, go to Hang the Banksters. Just Google it, Hang the Banksters, and you'll see a wonderful expose on our local Bill Gates and all the vaccines he's promoting. And now he's really pushing the chemtrails and financing chemtrails. So, it just doesn't stop. It's just unbelievable. you know, to watch a small town go from health, you know, where everybody's just living high, surfing, you know, paddle boarding, having a great time on the beach, you know, eating beautiful fruit and coconuts and coconut water and fish tacos and whatever else. And then 2 days later to see the whole town go sick is just amazing. And to watch the kids, you know, like, you know, all of a sudden the school just gets empty and, you know, everybody, you know, we're up on top of a hill with a beautiful view of the ocean and the beaches. And when you're in a canyon like that, all I heard was people hacking, all of my neighbors hacking. And my brother got extremely sick, and he's a massage therapist there at Haramara. If you want to check him out, he's one of the best in the business. But you know, he got extremely sick as well. And so, you know, watching these events happen, and last year they actually, the SARS virus came in and just hit everybody like a plague. And these are bioengineered viruses. They aren't natural. Anybody that's a virologist will tell you these are not natural. They're not in our in our natural system. They're created. You know, this is biowarfare, basically, and guess who the target is. So anyway, there's one more thing I wanted to talk about, too, before we go in there, is check out Before It's News. Type in beforeitsnews.com also. And they were actually filming an event, I guess, with, you know, our illustrious leader, you know, and one of his bodyguards actually forgot to shapeshift. And it turns out to be an undeniable reptilian. And you got to check this out. I mean, you know, I got to give kudos to David Icke, you know, on this one, because, you know, if this is true and this is real footage, and it does look like it is, you know, we're starting to see the veils coming down, and we're starting to see people for who they are and their true natures. And you're going to be surprised when the veil does come down, and it is going down, as to who's really leading this country. And I want to get further into that. You know, I want to talk about something right now that is kind of hard for people to talk about, and they really don't want to cover this area. But I want to talk about the Archon Network and how this network works, and people need to be aware of it, because this video is a classic example of that network. And the Archon Network is a network that's designed to lead you away from your soul. That's basically what it is. Your soul is your connection to God, Spirit, and Creator. And this whole process is a method of leading you away from your soul to where you can be, you know, enslaved and manipulated and do all kinds of things that ordinarily you wouldn't do. And the way this network works, and I've written an article about this, and I'll send it out soon, but you know, we want to talk about the ladder of success. And you know, we've been totally programmed by the media, you know, through commercials, through society, whatever. You know, the American dream, you know, is where you want to go. And George Carlin, I love what he had to say. He said, the reason they call it the American dream is you have to be asleep to believe in it. And it's just a really bad joke, I hate to say. And the way we act out this American dream is that, you know, we need to climb the ladder of success. And the ladder of success is the Archon Network. And I want to explain to you how this works. So basically, what happens is that you're kind of programmed through life that you want, or you're programmed that you need certain things that you don't really need anyway. And so you need these things to be, you know, to fit into society. And I love that Krishnamurti once said, it's not a sign of good health to be well adjusted to a sick society. And we do have a very sick society right now. So those who are trying to flow with this and become acceptable, you know, with today's society are really missing the mark, and they're part of that network. And as long as we're looking for acceptance and approval outside of ourselves, as long as we're trying to do it through material acquisition and things of that nature, we're part of this network. I'm going to tell you how this network works. Is what happens is the first rung of the ladder, you know, you'll probably take a job and this job will have you doing some things that ordinarily you wouldn't do. And you might have to tell a couple lies, and some of those lies are to yourself. And you'll get into this job, and you know, you'll tell a couple lies and do a few things you don't want to do. And then you'll be rewarded for it. And then you go to the next rung on the ladder. And then the next rung, you know, there's more and more toys that come with this next rung. You know, maybe a little more power, a little more wealth. And you can buy more of the things that will adjust you to society and make you seem to be a success. And to do that, you've got to tell a few more lies. And you've got to do a few more things, which you know in your heart are really not in the highest and best good of humanity on the earth. And I can give you a million examples of this, you know, as we move up the ladder. You know, you might be involved in fracking. You know, you might be involved in the pharmaceutical industry somehow that really creates major dependencies. A lot of these drugs are unsafe. They have nothing to do with healing. You know, but you got to kind of put all that aside. You don't want to look at the statistics on how many people have died from overuse or misuse of these drugs. And so you'll put that aside, you know, and you'll just keep going because, you know, you're making a lot of money here. And the more you go up the ladder, you can buy the big house, the Mercedes, the boat, and you'll be well-adjusted in society. So the same thing with the bankers, you know, you can enslave the masses. And you can enslave them deeper and deeper and deeper, and knowing full well that they're not going to be able to service the debt. But you really don't care because you're going to take that house back and throw them out on the street. And in order to do that, there's a lot of lies, many of them on paper, and many of them at the bank when they're going for this loan. And the lies continue, and then the actions where you have to take away the property and throw a family out on the street, things of that nature, it just gets darker and darker. You know, I can go into almost every agency. You know, the military, people join the military, they're all hyped up. This is for God and country. We're going to protect freedom. We're going to do this and that. And when they get in there, they find out that it's entirely opposite, that they're basically corporate puppets. You know, they're there to make sure the corporations get their needs filled, that they can steal resources from other countries, take over other countries, topple governments, and they're the strong arm, you know, of the corporations. And when they find that out, and when they find out they're actually, you know, murdering innocent women and children, and they're part of this movement, and they see what it's really all about, many of them get sick, they get very ill, you know, they come back with Agent Orange, they come back with depleted uranium, Gulf War syndrome, all these other things, and then they're just tossed aside, you know, and left to die. And that's all because they didn't listen to their soul before they went in there. Their choices were made on the ego and by the program that they accepted. They didn't take the time to go within. You know, I can give you a million examples of this, but the main thing is how the network works is that as you climb the ladder, you have to tell a few lies and you have to do a few things, and it gets worse and worse as you go up the ladder, and then pretty soon you're hooked. And the more lies you tell and the more actions you do that are harmful to humanity and nature, the further away you get from your soul. That's the bottom line. When you get up to the top of this ladder, you'll find beings that are masterful liars. They have participated in actions that were caused the demise of thousands, sometimes millions of people, innocent women and children. You know, they call it collateral damage, you know, to get their needs fulfilled. You know, we can go on, and this network is a very controlling, a very dominating, heartless network. And you have to totally sell your soul to get to the top. That's just the way it is. Now, if you don't believe me, you can look at what's unfolding. You know, if we truly had a network that cared about humanity and the earth and was there to serve humanity and the earth, we would have heaven on earth. I mean, it's that simple. And look at the condition of our society and look at the condition, you know, of the environment. Look at what's going along, you know, pay attention. You know, your environment's about ready to collapse. And with all the chemtrails, the biologicals, the magnetic fields down, the solar flares, you know, everything is moving towards an event. And the gamma ray burst, the alignment with galactic plane, Alcyon and Sirius, all of these things are really moving towards a collapse of this network. And possibly a major, you know, shift in the environment, which may be necessary for the Earth to heal and continue. And, you know, some major events that are right around the corner. You know, but people believe that there is security in the Archon network. And they fall back into the network because they think that, you know, if they do their 9-to-5, if they participate, you know, in this network as good little doobies, and, you know, if they pay their taxes and if they, everything's going to be okay. Well, the problem is that this network is about ready to collapse and it cannot sustain itself. It's completely unsustainable any way you look at it. And we really need to start listening to the Native American prophecies where they talk about this. And one of the prophecies, they talk about the beast. And the beast is 2,000, you know, miles wide. It's all-consuming. It wants to control and dominate everything. And eventually the beast consumes itself and collapses. And then with 1,000 years of peace, and we reunite with the Star Nations, and the healing comes. You know, there's other ones, the Hopi prophecies, talk about the two worlds. And there'll be those that will go into the materialistic world, you know, of outer appearances and not work on their inner awareness. And they'll continue down that path and continue to lie to themselves, thinking that's security. But the problem is that those who focus on unity consciousness and that are selfless and service-oriented and have stepped out of social programming and social consciousness are the ones that are going to continue because their world leads up into ascension and the old world crashes. So taking these prophecies into account and looking at the extreme unsustainability of what's going on, look at our economy, the jobs, there's something like a 22% unemployment rate. If you look at the real figures, there's no jobs, you know. How are people going to pay their taxes? How are they going to pay their houses, their mortgages? How are they going to buy things, you know, if the jobs aren't there? I mean, think about it. And all the jobs are going to the government where they can suppress these people that don't have jobs and who are a little pissed off, you know. We call them the 99%. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are pretty upset and pretty fed up with this program. And so this extreme uneven dispersal of wealth that's going on, this total disrespect for our God-given rights, and just what's unfolding now is hitting the max. It's going to the extreme. And it has to before it collapses. But it will collapse. And so we need to be very clear on which world we're participating in. You know, which world we're aligning ourselves with, which road we're walking right now. You know, we can't continue to work within establishments that don't have integrity. You know, we need to walk a path of integrity. We can't mislead and use others and manipulate others. We can't destroy the environment, you know. We can't lie and deceive as our politicians do daily. You know, we can't continue on this path of deception. We only deceive ourselves. So it's so important right now to realize that there is a network And it's called the Archon Network. And the Archons are some of the grays, the reptilians, some of the demonic type energies. They're very powerful. They're very strong. They know your weaknesses. They know where you're not healed. They know your patterns. And they can work you like a clock, you know. They're very good at what they do. They own the first three chakras, survival, sex, and power. And they can manipulate you through the media. They can manipulate you through psychotronics and all different ways, social programming, everything. And so, you know, we're going to have to start paying attention to this, folks, because it's epidemic right now, and it's unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you a little story that happened in Mexico, and this ties into this. But it's a very sad story. But, you know, I won't go into the first part of it because, you know, when I went to Mexico, I had an extreme challenge of my own in dealing with certain energies. And then, you know, right after that, a man drowned right in front of us. And this man, I believe he had metal hips, was the problem. And he went down, and he went down fast. Riptide took him out. He was gone. You know, game over. Quite interesting. You know, and I thought about that. You know, and having died myself, you know, I almost felt he was a lucky man, you know. He's back in heaven. You know, he's back probably in the plane of bliss, you know, out of this muck and this mire of what's unfolding. You know, but the people on the ground were just flipping out and blaming, you know, blaming the bomberos, you know, the fire department, you know, everybody. They were out there immediately on their surfboards looking for this guy. The surfers ran out there immediately. They had an ultralight flying over the area. I mean, there was nothing you could do. I mean, and when the guy's dead, he's dead. You know, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You know, it's like funerals are for the living. You know, they are. Well, the guy was gone. And people were doing their best to find him, you know. And everybody did their best. And so some people got really upset. And a lot of nonsense went on around that. And, you know, and a lot of criticism about finding this dead body, you know. They didn't do enough. Well, they did do enough. I was there. And they did all they could. You know, but sometimes all you can isn't enough. That's just the way life is. You know, it's just the way the cards are dealt and what's unfolding. But anyway, you know, getting past that, another event happened. And this was very sad. A two-year-old boy was being baby. There was a babysitter involved. And the babysitter's boyfriend came over. And he was very, I believe he was on some kind of meth or hopped up. Just totally flipped out. Most likely possessed, because that's what happened. And very angry at the girlfriend. And so he ends up beating up this two-year-old boy and actually molested him and drowned him, according to the police report, and drowned this kid. You know, that's what was said. You know, you don't know all the story, you know, in Mexico. You know, you hear a lot of things, but this is coming from a reliable source, and it was all over the news. And it was even in the mainstream news. But, you know, that shouldn't cast a bad light on Sayulita. It's a beautiful place with wonderful people there. But what happened was that the energies of the town fell. And you could feel it. And it was before this event happened. And then after this event happened, it brought up everybody's emotions, everybody's issues, everybody's anger. Sadness, sorrow, everything came up, and it fell even harder. The energy fell even harder. But that's the Archon Network, folks. That's how it works. It totally tries to pull you emotionally down. And I'm not saying we should not have feelings for this. I'm not saying we shouldn't care deeply for our children. A lot of the women, the Mexican children too, were very sad. They were crying. They just couldn't believe it. You know, what happened? You know, there's a time for that. And, you know, I've seen this over and over again, is that we need to look at the big picture in these situations. There's much more to the story than what happened. And whenever you have drugs involved, you know, especially meth and things of that nature, it opens the door to some very, very ugly spirits. And these spirits jump in. And you know, the meth and the other drugs are an open door for this to happen. And after this all happened, the kid was standing there, could not even believe what he had done. And he didn't even know he did it. It was like he was in shock of what happened. And from what I understand, the boy that did this is no longer around. I'm not, and that can't be validated, but from what I understand, I know the cartels and people like that do not, they're not very friendly when it comes to killing a two-year-old and sexual abuse and things of that nature. You never make it to trial, basically. And from what I understand, that's what happened. But I'm not trying to cast blame in here. I'm trying to shed some light on something that's happening, and shed some light on some wonderful people that got together. And so we had a wonderful group of people, and we did several healings around this energy, and made sure everybody got to where they needed to go, and made sure these other entities were cleaned up. And you know, thanks to some beautiful women that came and assisted us in this process, you know, we did a lot of clearing work there. And then Penelope, who's a good friend, also offered her house, where a lot of the healers and a lot of the awakened ones in Soluli gathered. And we got together and brought in all of the masters, all of the higher dimensional beings, and just started cleaning up, you know, the other levels of Solulita, the unseen levels, the unseen negative influences. And we had a couple pretty ugly demon-type beings pop into that in the very beginning. And they tried to wreak havoc and create some problems, but, you know, they are no match for these higher benevolent beings. There's no match at all. They will try to create a little havoc, but they do have to go. And so with the group energy there and setting the intention and bringing in the higher dimensional beings, the seventh, sixth, and fifth dimensional beings, a lot of wonderful work was done in Solulita. And so we got this off, you know, these energies out of there, and hopefully it'll stay clear, and hopefully after experiencing this, more groups will form and more people will do this kind of work. But, you know, this is the microcosm of the macrocosm. The same thing is happening in the macrocosm. And people are choosing, and they're choosing which road they're going to walk. And it's very clear. And a lot of these choices are being inspired by this Archon network and by some very, very, very controlling, very powerful, very manipulating beings that are trying to wreak havoc right now because they're on their way out. And they are going to go after the light workers. That is how it works. And they're going to go through those closest to them, you know, friends, family, lovers, whatever. And they're going to go through the network, and they're going to use the whole network. And we're experiencing that here at ESETI because, you know, after 9 court cases, the last court case I went to, you know, after about 4 or 5 words, I mean, I got a few things in, but the sheriff threw me out of the court. And the judge ruled against me, saying I wasn't there, which is an extreme breach of trust. It's unbelievable the lengths they would go to. Didn't even have a chance to defend myself. And it was just an unbelievable breach of trust and dishonor that we experienced. And we have to realize that by going to this network and thinking that there's going to be honor and justice there, and the truth is going to be heard. Guess what, folks? They're not there for that. And that network is controlled by some other entities that have a whole different program. And they feed off the negativity. They feed off the anger, the frustration, the sadness, the sorrow, the separation, the againstness, they feed off of that program. And they don't want that program. You know, they don't want really high beings coming together. They don't want people moving forward on their spiritual path and aligning with their souls and dropping the old programming. You know, that's the last thing they want. You know, they want to keep the status quo. And they want to keep the deception going. And they want to continue in actions that may not be in it of the highest integrity or in the highest and best good of humanity, the earth. And they want to keep their network alive. And we explain the network and the ladder of success and how the network works. So you're going to start seeing this network dismantle. And if you think your security is going to come by aligning yourself with this network and align yourself in actions that are against universal law, and aligning yourself with the outer appearance program and the need for acceptance, approval outside of yourself, and all of these other programs that are completely contrary to your soul and its evolution, you're going to have a major experience, and it's going to come quick because the energies coming in are very strong right now, and this whole network is going to be dismantled. So basically, I'm really hoping we're still on. It looks like we're having a little glitch in the system, but it does look like we're still on. So basically, you know, I knew when I talked about this that I would start having interference. And I know I'm going to start pushing buttons in people. And a lot of people want to turn off this show. And I understand that. Because all of us have a little tie, a little hook, a little plug into this Archon network. And the more a society removes itself from their soul, the more a society moves towards technology versus nature, the more a society focuses on its outer appearances and the need for acceptance, approval outside of themselves as programmed by social consciousness, the more the hook, the deeper the hooks. And the only way out of this Archon network is to walk a path of impeccable integrity and to be of service and to make your own God connection, spirit, creator connection, whatever you want to call it. You have to go within and make this connection. And when you've made this connection, you're going to realize that you don't need the acceptance and approval of others. You don't need all the toys, all the trinkets, all the outer appearances, you know, to establish self-worth. It's going to be an inner thing. You know, you don't need the acceptance and approval of others when you know you're fully loved and accepted from within. And you're not going to do things that may be harmful or shallow or superficial or harmful to others, or you're not going to operate from that position. You know, that's not where you're going to operate from. You're going to operate from a path and a place of impeccable integrity. And you're going to be service oriented. And everything else is going to drop away. And you're going to make your own awakening and the awakening of humanity and the earth first and foremost in your life as a priority. And that is the only way through what is unfolding. There is no way out other than this. If you think there's another way out, if you want to turn the reins over to your ego and the societal programming, and if you think if you can amass enough wealth and enough toys and enough of the baubles and the trinkets and the little green pieces of paper that this is not going to affect you, guess what? It is. There's no way around what is coming other than what I said. We're going to have to get back into alignment with nature. We're going to have to, you know, find a place where there's fresh water, where you can grow your own food, where you can do your practices, where you can meditate, do your prayer, set your intentions. And you're going to have to get out of the psychic turbulence of the cities and just get away from the psychic turbulence of this Archon network. And if you do, you're going to be on the good red road. You're going to be taking the right road. And that's the road we need to take. And, you know, it's going to take some humble pie. It's going to take some brutal honesty. We're going to have to look at what we're willingly participating in. We're going to have to look at our jobs. We're going to have to look at the repercussions from our jobs and how they affect others and what we're supporting. And we're going to have to take a long, hard look at where we're going individually and collectively. And this is very easy to understand. There are universal principles that are necessary for a healthy society and environment. Those principles are universal peace, brother-sister love, individual freedom and prosperity for all. And the main one is to honor the sacred circle of life, the creator in all creation. You know, and never do unto others what you would not have want to have done unto you. It's that simple. And this is all life. And that's where we're going to have to go. Now, what we're talking about is there's some pretty crazy stuff going on out there. People are losing their centers. People are doing things that are unbelievable. You know, not just like this kid, you know, this 2-year-old kid, what was done to him. People are checking out, you know, people are flipping out, and people are just so far away from their core, from their soul, and in such fear and insecurity and guilt and unworthiness and running all these other programs, trying to appease, you know, friends, family, everything. You know, trying to fit back in to a very sick society, thinking that is going to bring them peace and that's going to bring them security. You know, and again, what Krishnamurti said is, it's not a sign of good health to be well adjusted to a sick society. And right now, our society is very sick. And sometimes I think my physical body is actually reacting to that sick society. Because my body right now is sick. And I feel what's happening on the earth. I feel the earth. I feel what she needs to do. I feel what she's going to do. And I know what she needs to do to continue to be the platform for life. I know of other major cosmic events that are unfolding and the incoming energies. And I'm very aware of these networks and how we've been enslaved, manipulated, dumbed down, and controlled, and basically this has been going on for eons, but this is all coming to a close. And so now each and every one of us are going to have to make a choice. We're going to have to decide which path we're going to take. Are we going to take the downward spiral and try to climb this ladder of success, this Archon network? Are we going to continue to try to gain acceptance and approval outside of ourselves, you know, through material acquisitions, outer appearances? You know, are we going to continue to ignore our wounds and traumas and all the baggage that we're carrying with us that allows this network to get a foothold in our life and manipulate us as well? You know, where are we going to go on this road? And that's the decision that we're all going to have to make. So anyway, you know, we're watching things like the Pope stepping down. You're going to see the president under some extreme fire, and it's already happening. You're going to see a lot of things coming up to the surface, like Fast and Furious, you know, the Algeria connection, you know, all of the drugs and arms sales. And you're going to see how dark this network is, and how dark the people that climbed that ladder became, and how far away from their soul they've become. And we're going to watch this all unfold as it unravels and as it collapses. And that's where we're going. And you know, have no doubt about it. This network is not your friend. It's not. It has nothing to do with you, your love, your joy, your bliss, your security, your God connection, nature. It has nothing to do with that. And as a matter of fact, it's totally against it. And the more you support this network, you know, the more it's going to run and have its day. And it's having its day right now, as you can see what's unfolding. You know, this thing, this Second Amendment thing, I would love to give up all of my guns if I knew it would make a safer world. But then I look at the history of Earth, and I look at all of the tyrants and what happened when they took the guns away from the people and the mass genocide that followed. I ask myself, can I participate in that? You know, whether I use my guns or not, you know, they're a deterrent. And it's the one thing people at the top of this Archon network fear. And it's the people finding out and doing something about, you know, finding out about what they've done to get where they are and then doing something about it. That's what they fear. So I would think about that. And I would look at the billions or millions of people that were slaughtered in other regimes. And the first thing they did, the first thing Hitler did was take the guns away. He even took the knives away. You could have a butter knife, basically. That was it. You know, over in China, they did the same thing. You know, I'm sure in Tibet, they've done the same thing. You look at all these places where the mass genocide has occurred, you know, and you'll see the same format. The exact same format that's trying to happen in America. And I'm really praying that this doesn't happen and that we get some major divine intervention and that people start waking up fast and smelling the coffee and looking at this network and how they are willing participants in it and how they're supporting this network. And you have to excuse me because my voice is not what it should be. You know, I am dealing with some things that hit me pretty hard, even physically, but I'll be fine soon. And you know, there's an old African proverb that says, do not look where you fell, but where you slipped. And if you keep looking at where you fell, nothing's going to be healed. But if you look at where you slipped, you can go back. And you can see how little by little you kept telling a little lie, participating in a little action, a few more lies, a few more actions, and that was the slip, and that ended up in the eventual fall. It's that simple. Choices and actions. It's nothing more than that. You know, they say a man's character is determined by his choices and his actions. You know, it's really that simple. It's not any more complicated than that. You know, and the same goes for women too, you know. It's like, are we selling our souls for security? Are we selling our souls because we want acceptance and approval outside of ourselves? Are we selling our souls because, you know, we want to have the right look? You know, the right, drive the right car, live in the right house. Is that really where we need to be? And have we even taken the time to go within and ask ourselves, what do I want? You know, what kind of life do I want to lead? You know, do I want to live a loving, joyous, abundant life? You know, in total communion with my Creator? Is that the life I want to lead? Or do I want to do this separation game and just think of myself and not caring how my choices and actions affect others and the planet, you know, the big picture. And it's a tough lesson. It's a hard lesson. Very few can do it. Very few have the courage and the impeccable integrity to go back with brutal honesty and look at where they slipped. You know, they're too busy blaming and projecting and trying to find, you know, trying to validate their actions. And that's very sad, because that road goes nowhere. That's the downward spiral. So anyway, that being said, I want to talk a little bit more before we bring calls on. I know we've got Don hanging on, and we'll bring you on, Don, in just a minute. But I want to leave on that note. I want to leave on a lighter note. And you know, with all this going on, you know, and I had my challenges. I was challenged to the very core of my being. And throughout those challenges, I chose to surround myself with people that were very loving, very supportive, people of high integrity, people of, let's say, had their own personal God connection, and they're out there. And we all got together, and we dealt with this, and we dealt with these energies. And yes, some people are going to come, and some people are going to go. That's the way it is. And all we can do is our best and continue to be loving and honest and supportive and service-oriented and loyal and really focus on the awakening and healing of humanity on the earth. Start looking at others and how we affect others and how our actions and choices affect others and the planet. And if we do that, we can start walking the good red road. We can walk the path to ascension. And we can heal and get through these challenges with some wonderful support. And that's what I found in Mexico. I found some beautiful, wise, gifted people, some incredible healers, and now there's a beautiful network. And sometimes out of the, you know, out of this crap and out of the mud grows a lotus. And we have to look at that. And, you know, sometimes things happen. You know, there's purposeful good in everything. And sometimes we project our ideals on others who may not just have those ideals. They may not have those qualities. You know, we become very disappointed when they show us something else. You know, but all we can do is not fall down into those patterns. We need to rise up. And we need to continue to be loving, joyous, wonderful people, supportive people, people of high integrity. Our word needs to be law. And we need to be of the highest integrity as a light for others. And when we do this, the world will be healed. And when we discontinue with actions that are harmful to others, and I'm not just talking about physically, we're talking about mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all levels. When we get out of this self-absorbed program, this me program, and start living in unity consciousness, you know, the earth is going to change. And when we break the Archon network and the programming, you know, we will have heaven on earth. And that programming is coming to an end. Because the energies coming in are so powerful, they're so intense right now, that as I speak, these energies are tearing down this network. And the veils are getting thinner. Everything is coming up to be looked at, and we have two choices. We either heal it, make our own personal God connection and move on, or we continue on the same path until it consumes us. And those are our two choices. Because the earth is healing, humanity is going to heal, And we are going to reunite with the Star Nations and the other higher dimensions. And we are going to reconnect with our higher dimensional selves. You're not just a body and a personality. You know, you're a spirit, a multidimensional spirit. And that spirit and legions on the other levels, the other dimensions, are coming to assist in this birthing process. And so we can either be a part of the solution or part of the problem. And believe me, folks, I have no more time for the problem. You know, there's an old saying, the horns are blowing, the trumpets are blowing, the march is on. We're going to have to move forward. And we are going to have to let go of a few things in this march. And it might be a lifestyle. It might be friends. It might be families. It might be a lot of things. But we're going to have to master loving detachment to get through these times. And we're going to have to find our own center. And again, we're going to have to live according to universal principles that are necessary for a healthy society and environment and align with this wave of unity consciousness. Because there is no other option if we are going to continue, you know, here on Mother Earth and be a part of her process. So, that being said, focus on love, joy, and bliss. Make it a priority. Do your practices. Do your meditations. You know, do your prayers. And be the observer. Constantly observe your energies and how they're affecting others and how others' energies are affecting you. Find that observer and learn how to heal these unseen negative influences. And get down to the core of your being, because at the core of everyone's being is this loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess, this just immense multidimensional being. That's who you really are. And you connect to that through the soul. And so you're going to have to make your soul connection, and you're going to have to disconnect from everything that's keeping you from making the soul connection. And that is, folks, the Archon Network. So, that being said, we're going to open up the lines for calls, and hopefully Dawn is still with us.
With you.
Hey, welcome to the show, Dawn.
Hi. I have my speakerphone on. I hope that's okay.
Oh, it sounds fine.
Oh, great. Thank you. I just wanted to offer you some support, James. Sounds like you just went through some really tough stuff.
Oh yeah, it was pretty interesting, but you know, I'm pretty much through it. I see it for what it is, and I know what I need to do.
Yeah, well, I was feeling you a lot. It was actually harder than I thought. You know, I got on the phone. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to touch in and say hi.
Yeah.
And I was just feeling you so much. I was standing here burning a little sage. And
oh, good.
Looking at the stars and grabbing my lavender rose quartz that I work with, you know. I just really want to offer support, because many of us are feeling really challenged in similar ways that you are.
I know
good
this.
Light workers.
Yeah, this really is strong. Not just. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm saying this just isn't, you know, I don't want to, you know, air my stuff on the airways. I'm just kind of talking about this so people can know they're not alone with these challenges.
Yeah.
And this is a global event that's happening. And you look around the world, I mean, some of these countries have 60% unemployment. And,
yeah.
And they're going through austerity programs. And, you know, they've got no way out other than to kick out these banksters and get rid of the debt and stand up, you know, for once and reclaim their sovereignty. I mean, they don't have any other option.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been, I have an ear to what's going on a global scale. I'm very drawn to that also.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, being very conscious that I'm working in the dream time a lot, dimensionally, which is a little hard, as I'm sure that you understand, to balance.
Oh, yeah.
But I've seen a lot of good, solid light workers get the stuffing beat out of them this month. So
yeah,
it's definitely a lot of higher vibrating energies coming in, and you know, a lot going on in the consciousness grid that we're feeling. So I guess I just wanted to say I really support you. I've listened to you a lot, and we've had a few emails. Mm-hmm. I'm down on the North Oregon coast.
Oh, okay.
So I've talked about coming to visit a few times, but it hasn't really been on my agenda yet in the way that I'm doing my work here. But I very much follow you, and I'm very much aligned to what you talk about.
Great. So hey, well, thanks for your support, and keep up your good work as well. And it's good for people to know that, you know, the light workers are challenged right now, right to the core. And you
they
know,
are.
We've been battling this Archon network for a while now, and we put out such a big light, and you know, with the shows and with the ranch here and the vortex and everything else, that, you know, kudos to everybody here at the ranch. You know, Nate and mm-hmm. Jana, everybody else that's been here, that's helped out in the past. You know, it's been a journey, and it's been a challenging one. And
yeah.
Some people just couldn't make the journey.
Right, right. Well, I didn't make it to the ranch. I've been very drawn to that area there. And I was actually at the Rainbow Gathering that this past year
mm-hmm.
that was not far from you.
Oh, nice.
The big, yeah, which was interesting. But that's a really powerful energy there. Check out, yeah, I know that you're familiar with the Native American legends, but I've been really attracted to the ancient histories lately that have been coming out more and more about the star elders and the star beings and the star knowledge that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And the giants.
Oh, yeah.
The giant races came before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just in line with more that's been suppressed
mm-hmm.
about what the true histories are here. So
yeah, yeah,
you're probably aware
out.
Of a lot of that. But and that's even in the Northwest Native American knowledge base. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure if that's something that you've studied, but
definitely.
I'm finding a lot of validation in what's happening right now.
Yeah.
I think it's really on the radar. So.
Well, I'm part Cherokee myself anyway.
Yeah,
we're part Cherokee, Scotch-Irish, and so I'm very involved with a lot of the different nations and their prophecies, and their chiefs come here and hang out quite a bit. So
well, you couldn't be sitting there on that land and not be feeling that vibration.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They walk the land, believe me, in spirit and physically. They're here, and they're walking the land.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for what you do.
Well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for the support.
Hang in there. Things will get a little easier, even though we might be facing a global coastal event.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not,
we'll
I
be okay. We will be okay. We're here
my
for
spirit,
this.
My spirit's a lot better than I sound. I just, I've lost my voice.
And a lot of us are having physical illnesses come in when we usually don't get them either. Because, you know, a lot of us garden and we use herbs and take care of ourselves. And
I'm a walking, definitely
a different level right now. But
I think I'm
we're
a walking
here
herb
garden
right now because I have every herb you can imagine in my system. You know,
yeah,
we just
went and harvested
stuff, so.
Oregon grape and prepared medicine with that. And yeah. So,
right.
Yeah, it'll be okay. But, you know, the sun has awoken again, and that's bringing up a lot of physical symptoms, too, with the geomagnetic, the solar.
Yeah, the fields are down, and we're getting slammed again by coronal mass ejections. And also,
well, that's letting in all that dimensional energy, which is actually shifting everything. So we should say thank you, just like the Native Americans say when they get a bee sting or spider bites them, they say thank you for that medicine.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like, perhaps this is the same thing.
I say that too, right after I squash the little booger. No,
all right. Well, you have a good night, and
kidding.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. We've
got
a few other calls here. We can see if we. I know we've got Stephen from California and Tar from Ohio. Let's see if we can get Stephen on first. Stephen, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Hey, it's great to hear your voice. It's been a while since I've heard you. getting a little worried about you there, actually. I was noticing, great show tonight, by the way, but I have noticed, to me, and maybe it's just me, you sound so much more balanced than the last time I heard you speak. You just sound very centered, and I just really liked your message tonight, and you you really sound really grounded, and I really resonated what you were saying to me, and so I don't know if that's because you're sick or not, but
yeah. Well, actually, it's two things. One, Mexico has a way of doing that, because every year I go to Mexico, and I do a lot of swimming. I get in the ocean. My shoes are off. I go on long hikes, long walks, and I do a very intense kind of little spiritual sabbatical. But this time I kind of got pulled off my sabbatical because of various things, a lot of other challenges I had to deal with, but I still got my time in. You know, I still got some time to get out in the ocean and get my aura cleansed and spend some time on the beach
I can really hear it. You know, in your voice, you just sound really grounded and really balanced. Right. And that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about, was about balance. I know that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, negative things happening right now in our planet, and I'm assuming they've, you know, been happening and will probably continue. And I heard this one channel a while back. She channels Raphael, and I guess one of the things that Raphael said through her was that, because I guess somebody asked about, you know, the negative influences, and she said that that they were there, and she didn't really necessarily say necessary, but they were there for balance. And I was curious what you had to say about that, as far as, I mean, if they were not here at all, it would be great and wonderful, but is there a purpose to them being here, as far as, you know, do we need that type of balance? What do you think?
You know, I have mixed feelings about that. I sometimes wonder, you know, if we would not evolve without them, because, you know, these entities, especially, I mean, I've met some entities that were unbelievable. And I mean, I could not get on top of it. I threw everything I could at these beings. I blast them with as much love and joy as possible. I call on the highest beings I could think of to deal with these beings. And the guy, just with this one being, just was absorbing the energy. He kept absorbing the energy. And I go, what is going on with this guy? Yeah. And just wreaking havoc, you know, in my life and through others and things like that. And when I got to the end of this thing, I asked one of the Palladians about these beings, and I won't even mention their name because I don't even want them back, you know.
Right. But I agree.
Yeah. What I found out was that they said they were allowed to exist because they were the challenge. They were one of the biggest challenges. And as we walk, you know, the road of self-mastery, we run into these beings, and they know every unhealed attitude, every emotion. They know your weaknesses. They know how to work through others. They're very good at what they do. And they strip you to your knees. And you know how I got rid of it? I totally surrendered.
Wow.
I completely surrendered, and I said, "I don't care. Take everything. Right. Take everything.
Oh my God.
Do whatever you want to do. I don't care anymore. You know, whatever. Uh-huh. You know." And as soon as I took my attention away from it, and said, "I'm done. I don't care. Whatever," it left.
Oh, that's amazing. Actually, that's interesting, because that was one of the things that Raphael said, was that she doesn't like to focus on them, or he, whatever, I guess there's a gender. But that's what she said immediately afterwards, that I do not focus on them, you know. So that kind of makes sense with what you just said.
But when you're here in the physical, though, one of the problems is you're around people. You're around people here in the physical. There are, you know, they... sometimes you have to deal with it. You know, unfortunately, you'll,
you do. Exactly.
Yeah, you'll have to move
things.
Yeah, you have to move things in and out of your life. You have to set boundaries.
Right.
You have to go, this is totally not acceptable. I'm sorry.
Right.
And for their own good, you know, you can't stuff things. You can't hide. You know, you can't be so fearful of losing their love and acceptance or approval that you don't tell them what they need to hear. And and that's one thing I'm, you know, to me, one of my pitfalls is and everybody says that, is that I'm just too forgiving. And, you know, and they said, I'm on the strike 15 program where finally at strike 15, I toss them out. And they go, yeah. And they go, what are you doing? You know, there's only three strikes in this game. Figure it out, you know?
Okay.
And I just hang in there and I just keep trying to help. And it's sometimes it's my own demise. And now I'm having to look at that and say, you know what? I need to start taking care of myself. I need to start setting some boundaries here. And, I need to start calling a spade right up front. And not doing that, it's actually gotten worse.
Sometimes it's easier to forgive, and you know, but then like you say, there comes a time when, you know, you have to do what you have to do, you know, for yourself.
Yeah. And the Palladians said something really powerful to me once. They said, you know, one of the problems with Earth that's extremely inhibited its evolution is that when things happen, one person stuffs it and the other person doesn't hear what they need to hear to evolve. So both of you are stuck and you're entangled and there's no forward motion. And she said, it's time to say what needs to be said. You know, it's time to clear the air. And, and people need to learn that what they're doing isn't okay. It's not acceptable. And it's out of alignment with universal principles. And that's how we're going to – and this new energy coming in, believe me, you can't stuff anymore. It's a stuff-free zone now.
Yeah, I've already figured that one out myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, anyhow, I just wanted to say it's really good hearing you. You sound really good, you know, in my opinion, and I really liked your show, what you had to say tonight, and I look forward to more messages from you and the beings in the future.
Yeah, I've got an ebook I'll be coming out with all of this information real soon.
Oh, really? Oh, great. Yeah, because I think I've already read your books 3 or 4 times each, so I'm
getting a little
bored with them, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
you know
really
what? I never promote my own stuff, and I probably should.
I know you don't.
If people want to get those books, they can just go to eseti.org and pick up Reunion with Source or Becoming Gods or The Ultimate Soul Journey. And you know the techniques to heal all this stuff.
They really changed my path, you know, everything. They changed everything. I mean, I was on a path, I think, probably for 3 or 4 years before I had any contact with you. And when I got your book, it really changed everything, how I looked at everything. And, I mean, it just opened up a whole new world. I mean, I don't know how to explain it other than after I read the book, the things that were said that, you know, Ezekiel, whatever, it just made sense. I mean, everything that I questioned, you know, throughout my whole life, it all made sense. I go, okay, this makes sense, you know. And so it's like it really kind of was the beginning to my, you know, to get me to where I'm at today, which is in a much better place, you know, spiritually, I believe, I feel. And so, yeah, I think the books are great, and I think, you know, yeah, you definitely, I think a lot of people, you know, could benefit from, you know, reading your books and, you know, I don't know. Anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Well, thanks for the plug. And, you know, it has been people going through this transpersonal release sessions and, you know, watching. I mean, lately the energy is so strong. I'm watching people's faces morph and hold.
Wow.
It's so weird. People, their faces are contorted and they're holding this weird image. And we get through the process and I look at them again and they're a totally different person.
Wow.
And it's actually physically, everybody that looks at them, they go, you're glowing. what happened? You're beautiful. What'd you go through? What?
Wow.
They go, what'd you do? And then next thing you know, I'm getting swamped with all these other people wanting to do it. But which I wish I could train other people to do this, but I haven't found anybody yet that would could really, you know, hold the energy and do what's necessary to stay in that space. But
it's hard. It's hard, you know, living in this physical realm that we live in with everything around. And you know, it would be great if we could, or if I could just, you know, shut everything out around me. But you know, unfortunately, it's not realistic. But you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, I have to see my reality as I think other people think I should see it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I do, you know, try to do my work, my, you know, daily meditation, and you know, I do you know, go inward, and I do observe, like you were mentioning earlier on the show. I sit around and observe, and I try to connect more, I think, with, you know, the trees and the animals and the bugs around me, and I think I get more from that than I do, you know, a lot of people that I'm around. And you know, I hate to say that, but
well, nature's my church. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could, you know, totally relate to that. It is. It's like, I mean, there's just, you know, it's like the more you're around it, I think the more that, you know, you become sensitive to it, and I, you know, you kind of, you can't, you know, hear them, but you can feel them. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, it's just such a nicer place. You know, it's just kind of unconditional, you know, no judging and unconditional, you know, I hate to use the word love, but kind of love, I guess. And you know what I mean?
Well, the trees and plants and don't judge you, you know, and the animals don't either. They're totally subjective, but if you stay there long enough, you can start talking to them and they will talk back. You know, it's pretty interesting. And that's a real shocker for people when they find out that these dumb animals and trees and flowers and, you know, are not so dumb. I mean, it's really a hard one for the ego.
It is. Sequoia, it's like the largest living organism on the planet, can survive, you know, flood and fire and, you know, whatever, but it cannot survive the chainsaw of man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like crazy, crazy stuff.
Well, but you know, there's an old saying. I love that old saying, and it's kind of rough. And on somebody, but it says, you know, you can't reason with crazy and you can't fix stupid. And, you know, and unfortunately, there's a lot of that going on right now. And
you're right.
You look at what's happening to the earth and just the way people are treating each other and the environment right now. And you just go, this is nuts.
It is nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to bring up any negative stuff, but what is happening with the court thing on the ranch out there? Do you know?
Well, you know, the first 9 cases we did really well on. And then the last case, as soon as I walked in there,
heard that. Any update since then, though? Or?
Well, basically, they got an abatement order, and they were going to get the bulldozers and come in and just tear everything down. But basically, we've kind of blocked that, hopefully, I do believe, and challenged, you know, all of that. And that's all in the paperwork and in the courts. And
I guess
so,
I really don't understand, you know, what is the core of this? What is the meaning of this? Why is this going on? And what brought this about? I mean, I guess I'm a little confused. I mean, because you've been operating up there for years, literally.
Exactly.
With no problems. And I know the community's loved you. I've been up there and
you
know, I've talked to the local, you know, the vendors out there, and they all think you're great. And, you know, so I don't understand, where did this come from? I mean, do you think
it's all based on assumptions. And assumptions and agendas and a good old boy network and a kind of a Baptist network all getting together, and they just don't like who we are and what we're doing here, and they're going to do everything they can to shut us down. But the thing is that, and their main basis is they're trying to say the septic tanks are spilling shit everywhere and that we're a mess and this and that. You know, and they made all these assumptions. Well, our septic tanks have all been inspected. They're working perfectly. Everything is working perfectly here.
Always smells pretty good when I've been there.
Yeah. And they're just making things up and going off these assumptions. And, you know, the buildings are permitted. And the ones that aren't permitted don't need permits. They're either too small or they're, or their canvas. You know, they even made us take down our teepees. We had a couple of teepees, and they demanded we got permits for teepees. I mean, that's a tent. Come on.
Why now, though? Why do you think now they're coming forward? I mean,
well, you know, I don't know if it's just people in the planning commission. One guy recused himself, and we caught him bragging how he was going to shut us down. And so he had to recuse himself, and then he employed, you know, he started working on the health department and the code enforcement and everything else. And it just went downhill from there, and it got uglier and uglier. And it does look like other influences are involved too, because it makes no sense.
I'm wondering.
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever.
That's why I was really curious, you know, what brought this about, and, you know, where did it, you know, what was the origination from, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. It doesn't make
well,
any
basically
sense.
Basically, it boils down to they don't like us. They don't like our message. They're very upset with people healing here and awakening and thinking outside their box. And, you know, again, it's the Archon Network. We are a huge torch in the middle of that network, and
right.
They just want this thing shut down. And people are actually, you know, there's some people in there that are not really bad people. They're just misinformed, and
right.
They're doing what they're told by the network, and they're
right.
Not using critical thinking or rational thought. And
no.
And I mean, come on, you're going to come out here with bulldozers and bulldoze everything.
That's just
throw
crazy.
Everybody out into the cold, you know, so they have
insane.
To go poop and pee in the fields, and that's in our highest and best good.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that really serves us well. You know, that really serves, and the community loves us, and the community, you know, they're doing great, and they're prospering.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no ill effect from us being here. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. We're having a great effect on the environment.
I think you are. I think that's why, personally, I think that's why you're being targeted. I really
exactly.
do. And I, you know, I think that I don't like to speak, you know, ill will about any religions, but
yeah.
I think, you know, there's a lot of great religions out there, but I think there are some religions that, you know, are maybe being influenced. And, you know, I think that could be part of the reasoning of what's going on, you know.
Yeah, that is
there.
Part of it's kind of a belief system, be it redneck or religious or whatever.
Right.
It's just – or an idea that, you know, you have the right to just run roughshod over people and totally ignore their rights. You know, there's so many things involved in this that you know, who knows where it's all coming from. But it's just
right.
like, you know, it's the Archon Network, basically. We're
– yeah, right.
But it really makes no sense at all. And for them, you know, if they ever did come out of bulldozers, it would be the blackest eye on the county. Because the masses would rise up on this one.
I
haven't said anything about this. I've been quiet and hoping that we could.
You have been pretty quiet about it. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping, you know, we could just take care of it privately. You know, so we don't ruffle too many feathers. And but, you know, we have met just extreme lack of cooperation, dishonor, all the way through this whole system, to the point of it's just crazy making. I don't know who these people are, but they certainly do not serve the people in any way. It's a self-serving
right.
network. And yep. And basically they are for profit corporations, and they're there to dig as much money as possible out of everybody, and they've forgotten their oath, and they've forgotten their purpose, you know, why they were created. And it seems the people have forgotten that they created them, and they gave them the power. So that's
yeah.
basically where we're at. We're waking people up to realize that, hey, wait a second, these are public servants. These are not mini Napoleons. They don't have the power they think they do, and it's time that they get back into service and look at how ridiculous what they're doing is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's that simple, basically.
Yeah. Well, it's okay to ask for help, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Well, that's our next step. I think we're going to go major public with this. Probably going
to
set up some kind of a donation thing so we can get because I'm just tapped out on this legally. The funds.
I'm kind of surprised that I haven't heard. I really thought you guys would be thinking, God, they got to need help on this. Definitely. And so
we definitely do. And we're going to start. We're going to actually go on a big push and just let everybody know what's going on, and probably a countersuit, because we have a massive track record of what they've done, and it's all extremely well documented.
And gotta stop,
there is so much dishonor and fraud and barratry and abuse of process, abuse of office, in there. It's like, it's a stack about probably 3 feet high of paperwork where they have definitely did not operate, according to their own rules and regulations and bylaws and whatever.
Sounds a lot like the federal government.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? There's an old saying, whenever you put your power outside of yourself, there are always those who will snatch it up and use it against you,
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, keep Mexico in your heart. It obviously does you good. You sound great.
Oh, yeah. I'm planning on spending more time down there and, with this network and actually making space available for other people to go down there and get the healing they need.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I'm not too far from there, actually. So, let me know, and I'll go down there and get some love and healing.
Great. We'll put that up on the site here pretty soon.
Okay. Anyhow, James, well, thanks a lot for your time, and you take care, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for calling. I think we've got Tara from Ohio on line 3. Hopefully she's still with us.
Yes, I'm still here, James.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Bless you. Thank you for being you and good energy so that you get better real quick.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
I wanted to blow this by you and see, since you're in much better communication with other beings than I am consciously aware of at this time. So I'm from a perspective of, as I have evolved, and you just spoke about being, people accuse you of being too forgiving. And I come from a place where we're having a shift in consciousness, and everyone's talking about unity consciousness, and I still hear a lot of division, that everything is still going to be separated, so that you have to pick one or the other or such. And I'm going to throw this out, that I'm from a perspective that if this is unity consciousness, and if we are all evolving, and if this has been an experiment, and if in actuality the Archons and those lower frequency beings are here to bring us up, then I feel that it's time for everybody, to be brought into the fold, whether you are organic or inorganic, synthetic or, non-synthetic, and that if you have the capacity to respect, have compassion, and cooperate with other beings, then you have what it takes to make the next step or to make the final leap. And that, you talk about critical mass. Well, not everybody needs to get it in order for their to have a shift to occur. So,
well, I have a question. I have a question for you.
Okay.
My question is that I know with this energy coming in, like love. If you just throw a whole bunch of love into something, it's going to create chaos, because whatever that thing is, it's going to have to rise to the occasion. And so the higher frequency energies, as they come in, are going to go, they're going to create chaos now and then. And then there are people that are going to choose to heal in this process. And there's going to be people that are going to choose the downward spiral, maybe to just go into blame and anger and frustration and try to create more chaos. And so what I see, and my question is that, and I'm still trying to figure this one out myself, is that as we raise in frequency and we clean up our past and let go of all these wounds and traumas and this garbage, we're going to be in a space where we're not creating karma anymore. We're not acting that in harmful, selfish ways, you know. We're not, it's like the yogis and the lamas, you know, a lot of times they reach a certain state where, you know, they karma is not a reality for them because they are operating on a whole different frequency, you know, in alignment with the universal law. So they're done with karma. They've healed their past and they're not creating more karma, you know, and they've gone through their thing. But I'm seeing that the earth herself is moving in that direction. And so my question is, I don't think everybody's going to make it. I think there are people that are choosing not to go in that direction. And I don't think they're going to be frequency specific to this planet anymore. When it reaches that certain state, and they will have to go somewhere else. So my thing is that in unity consciousness, there are people that are choosing, they are not choosing unity consciousness. They are not choosing to operate, you know, according to universal law. They're choosing to act out their baser nature, and they're choosing to continue with the wars and the greed and the selfishness, you know, all the other things. And, you know, So, I'm just thinking about this. Yeah, unity consciousness is bringing it all together, but if the place rises to a certain frequency, you know, those people are going to either have to heal or go somewhere else.
This is what I say, is that when you look at the big picture, what's wrong with the big picture? The big picture is, this is all about consciousness. This is all about energy, and there's an imbalance here. What's the imbalance? It's fear consciousness. Fear consciousness needs to be healed. So for me, that's what the issue is. And the fear consciousness is all about synthetic. The fear consciousness is about parasitism. And this is where all these beings in our third dimension, all the parasites we have that parasitize humans, animals, the environment, you know, these are all, as far as I'm concerned, unnatural. And our lower frequency fear-based creations. And this is what we are healing. This is what, and if this is healed, if fear consciousness is healed, then you won't have war, you won't have illness, you won't have any of this. So this essentially would disappear because this is all energy, this is all programming. We're basically here because we've been parasitized, because they're feeding off of us. Well, if we stop that, change, heal that fear frequency so no one has to experience that, no one, no matter what you are, no matter where you came from, nobody has to experience that, then everything is healed, everything, there is no more duality, because that's imbalance, and everything is whole, everything is harmony, and everything resonates with everything, and we're back on a cycle that is natural, and, you know, what do you think?
Oh, no, I agree with you. No, I totally agree with you. We wouldn't be doing... You know, in unity consciousness, especially in a higher civilization where you have telepathy, you wouldn't think of lying or deceiving or doing something harmful, you know, to anybody, and because you know you couldn't get away with it, you know, because everybody's telepathically connected. Everybody would know who you are and what you're doing. And I think that's where we're going as a civilization, because as we raise in consciousness, those it's even part of our DNA lines. As they open up, you know, people are going to become more telepathic. They're going to shift into direct knowing. They're moving into a sense of, hey, I want to act out of love and support and assist in the awakening healing process. And it's just all part of the time that we're going through, the evolutionary cycle. So to me, it's like, you know, I agree with that, but we have to realize that there are some things that are just really toxic, and behavior patterns that are really toxic, and connections that might be really toxic that we're going to have to set some boundaries with and just say, hey, you know, I love you, I support your path and everything else, but it's not for me.
Well, don't you think really a very large portion of the world population is programmed, is, you know, infected, you know, literally with a mind parasite? And they're programmed, and that's not fair. That's not right, because I don't think most of these people would be making those decisions if they weren't being parasitized or programmed in some fashion.
Oh, I agree 100%, and that's what the Archon Network does.
I don't feel as though it's fair for those people to have to pay because they're not frequency specific. Because they're being programmed so heavily, and you know, that's hard.
Well, you know, you think about this. You know, I'm sure I had that option to be programmed, and I broke that program. And just because within my heart and soul, I have a strong enough core, and I made choices all throughout life, and I made mistakes. Like everybody does, and you know, I did everything I could to straighten those mistakes out and gain the wisdom from it. You know, so it's tricky. It's though, although that Archon Network is there, in each case we had a choice to step away from our soul, to step away from, hey, that doesn't feel right, or that doesn't, you know, this really isn't in the highest and best good of humanity or the earth, or, you know, we always had that choice as we went along. And so, and we chose, we chose fear, or we chose separation, or we chose to capitalize at the expense of others, you know, in some way. And so I just see it as a matter of in each experience, we had a choice, and we acted in certain ways. And it all boils down to that. It's like, but I do believe that this network is there, and I see that this network is being torn down by the higher beings. But in this process is that we are going to have to rise to the occasion, and we're going to have to break that pattern as well within ourselves, and start making you know, different choices. You know, when those influences are gone and taken out, I think people just by nature are good in their hearts, and when those influences are gone, you know it's like people never go to war, governments go to war, religions go to war,
right?
You know, all of these elements there, when that collapses, you know, people by their nature, I think everybody in their heart of hearts wants a loving, joyous life, you know, in harmony with each other and the planet, and to make their own connection. I think in their heart of hearts, that's there. But I think there's some beings that may not have a heart. You know, they don't have that spark. They might not be able to make that connection. And so, you know, we need to like disassociate with that energy. And raise the frequencies up, and when we do, they won't be able to affect us any longer. But again, that goes back to choice. We have to choose not to be a part of that network, and are becoming dependent on that network, because it is going to go down.
Well, I'm ready for the next step.
Yeah, me too. I'm more than ready.
So you didn't dig it, so am I. Really more than ready.
I think
it's everything I can do to keep myself still on the planet, so I'm working hard to stay here for this great event.
Yeah.
So I thank you so much, sir. You're wonderful. Thank you for everything you do, and bless you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right. It looks like I believe we got Tony from Washington. That's the next line. I hear something in the background. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, is this Tony?
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, James. Just a sec. I was listening to you on my PC. Okay, now that was kind of strange.
Yeah, there's a delay, so it'll drive you crazy. You have to turn it off.
Yeah, I really appreciated what the previous caller was sharing in this whole idea about fear. And to let you know who I am, I'm actually the host of Spirit Quest.
Oh, great.
And I had emailed you a couple of times, and you agreed to an interview with me on Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm glad to hear that you're safe.
I just got back late last night. So I'm ready to go forward with all these interviews.
Yeah, you know, my show is on actually Friday night, 5 to 7 Pacific time, but I might be able to arrange a special interview with you on the spring equinox, which would be, the 21st, I think, is Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to do that if I can arrange that?
I believe
can
so.
Can you do that?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm pretty sure. I have to run it through Nate. He's the programmer,
sure.
And he's got my calendar, and I don't know what he's got on the calendar, but yeah, we'll definitely run it through Nate and see what's on the books, and then
okay. I'll follow up with another email so we can get all the ducks in a row and stuff.
But, okay, great.
Just to share a little bit about fear and what I learned about it. I'm in recovery, and I got sober in '96. And I was trying really, really hard to die,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty common.
Anyway,
the thing is that I was taken through a spiritual process and given a spiritual toolkit, and part of that toolkit was doing an inventory where I really had to be brutally honest. Everything that you've shared this evening just so resonates with me that I think it's worthwhile sharing a little bit of what I went through, because it was so incredibly cleansing. And mm-hmm. and a main ingredient of that was taking a very serious, brutally honest examination of fear.
Yeah.
And it is really interesting in that fear always lands in one of two buckets, sometimes both buckets is kind of the terminology that I use,
uh-huh.
is that either I'm not going to get what I want, or I think something I have is going to be taken from me.
Yeah.
And another way to really analyze and look at whether you're in a state of fear is that if there's anything I'm going to do, if I have to rationalize or justify it, I'm already in a dark alley.
Mm-hmm.
It's really basically that simple. And that was quite illuminating to me. I never really realized that I had lived my life in a constant state of fear. And probably one of the most other revealing aspects was realizing what love was, and the best definition I ever ran across was unconditional acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've gone through this process of is that realizing just how programmed and hypnotized we are with all this stuff about love and what that is, what it is, and what that's supposed to appear as.
Exactly.
And as a sovereign being, what I'm realizing is that I'm still having to undo programming. I'm still having to undo hypnosis. Probably one of the most beneficial things I ever did in my entire life was 3 years ago I turned off my TV.
Yeah.
And that was a remarkable experience because, and I'm not going to take up too much time and go into that. We can talk about that during your interview, but it was quite amazing how much it changed me in 30 days.
Every time I go to a lecture or I go to a conference or something where I'm speaking and you know, they have a hotel room and you go in there and they have like, 100 and something channels on the thing.
Right.
And I go, God, you know, I haven't watched TV since the 70s. You know, I wonder what's going on. And so I start flipping through the channels and I go, oh my God. And the vibration about what's on there and the energy and what they're trying to sell you, it's just when you're awake and you look at it, you go, my God, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, you know? And
yeah,
all these reality shows
found,
and everything else. And yeah, the only thing you can get on there, Discovery Channel or a Nature Channel or something. That was the only thing I could handle.
Yeah, and even then, because it's interrupted every 5 minutes, I just can't do TV now.
Yeah,
I just
even by
simply
a commercial.
Cannot. Yeah, I can't deal with the frequency. And when I was doing my research, I really started research about 7 years ago. I ended up on disability, a lot of time on my hands. And I started with UFOs. And it just was absolutely fascinating how that started to always be related to some of the other really dark subjects, like the deep black military industrial complex.
Oh, yeah.
Also getting into some of the mind control programs, which are part of the deep black military complex, and all these other very dark, very disturbing topics. And it was absolutely amazing to me that at about 3 years, when I started researching chemtrails, how it shattered my illusion of what the world was. It just destroyed me. And it was so difficult to be able to take on board that everything I'd been taught, everything that I'd been told, is upside down, backwards, and skewered.
Yeah.
And that was a hell of a process to go through. And we'll talk about this also during your interview, but I ran into what was illuminated for me is that I had a very close friend kind of have an honest conversation with me, and he said, Tony, it's getting very dark for you, and it's not helping you, and it's not helping anybody else. And I don't know what it is that you need to do, but I will tell you this, is that the energy everybody is noticing, and perhaps you want to do something different. I understand your interest, and I know that the stuff that you're researching is important to you, but it's not helping. And so I really had to sit with that, and what was already evident to me, because I've been sober about a decade, is that, okay, I need to seek the light. I need some spiritual enlightenment. I need some spiritual guidance to get out of this so I can take this darkness and bring some light to it. And that was a process. We can talk about that too later. But it was so beneficial because it changed my world when I started really listening to your information and tapping into to what the experience that you were sharing and the processes that you were going through, along with Daryl Anka and the entity he channels, Bashar. And believe me, I'm not into channeling, but it has been really interesting because some of the material that's shared through him is so empowering. It's it's been an interesting process over about the last year and a half, and it has literally changed my reality. And what I've come to believe is that we are immensely powerful. We just don't know that. And it has a lot to do with our belief systems and our programming and the hypnosis that we've been subjected to, is that deconstructing those belief systems, and ultimately what I found what was incredibly freeing was, as you said earlier in the show, surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Just let it go.
Yeah.
And what I found is that I was taught, and it was really kind of reluctantly I accepted this, and I had to go through a process to see the power in it, is that in recovery communities, what we're basically given is a spiritual toolkit, and that we're, after we recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, is that we're to carry this toolkit and message to other people. And here's the key. We do it for fun and for free.
Yeah.
And I am not sure why that is such a profound spiritual axiom, if you will, or law. But when we start doing things with no expectation for fun and for free, simply because it's the right thing to do, the doors of the mysterious and the miraculous are thrown open. And I don't know, you know, maybe nothing more needs to be said regarding that. It is just, it has been an amazing experience. And it has become more and more evident to me when, for lack of a better terminology, when I'm on the beam. Because doing these things for fun and for free is incredibly liberating.
Mm-hmm. And I think that mastering that loving detachment is so important. And, you know, and what I've seen now in my own life, where I'm at right now in my evolution, is that I'm seeing now, because of my compassion sometimes and love for others and really wanting them to evolve and be all they can be and everything, sometimes I get hooked into their own program and attached to the outcome, you know, or attached to the relationship or whatever, you know, there's some kind of an attachment there. And my
yeah,
big
that's
lesson,
the expectation.
Yeah, is learning to go, you know what, I put everything I could into it. All I can do is pray for the best now, and it's up to them. And whether they take the upward spiral or the downward spiral is between them and God. But there's times where I'm really realizing that I have to set some boundaries and say, hey, look,
yep,
this is the frequency I want to operate on. You know, these are the ideals I want to hold true to. And these are certain principles that I need in my life, especially if you're going to have a healthy relationship. And
right.
And so that's where I'm really learning to set some boundaries, saying, look, this isn't acceptable. I'm sorry. You know, this is not out of love or compassion or integrity. And, you know, and I'm just learning to finally set some boundaries and not do strike 20 anymore. And I think the whole earth is going through that. Where
yes, and this is what I'm really excited about, and I absolutely agree with you. And 2 points here is that as a sovereign being, it's not my responsibility to fix other people. I can't fix them, and I can't break them.
Yeah.
So here's the idea of being a sovereign being, is that they're a sovereign being too.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it's not my job
exactly
to fix them.
And my problem too is that I can see, like, I, in a way it's a curse, but, you know, I can see where people are going and the direction they're going and the implications of that and the reaction, you know, to choices they've made and things like that. And it pulls me off my center sometimes into like, my God, you're headed for a train wreck, you know? And I go, you don't see this train wreck coming? I go, it's so obvious, you know? And so, you know, it pulls me off into that Buddha approach or the old approach, the Bodhisattva approach, is trying to end pain and suffering and enlighten people and you know, and getting, and now I'm just realizing that basically in these days, people need to take responsibility. They need to heal themselves. They need to see their own train wrecks, and how they're involving others in that train wreck. And it's really not my job anymore. You know, I need to get on my own train and watch the tracks, you know?
Right. And here's another thing is that, and I've gone through this so many times in the recovery community, and I always notice the sickest person.
Yeah.
And it's an empathic thing that I've not been happy about, but I can be in a room with 150 people in a meeting, and it's the one who is in absolute utter darkness that I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's because I've been there. I was living on the street trying to die for 2.5 years, and I couldn't even get that right. So I understand that utter darkness. And one of the things that it took me quite a while to realize is that if somebody can notice your light, that's the person to work with, because they have just the opening to notice the light. That is a frequency that you have in common. At least they're aware of it. And sometimes we want to fix it all as fast as possible. That's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is just to give them the information and let them go.
I like one of the teachers I studied with. He said, you know, when you say no more, I am no more. And I thought about that. And, you know, and it's like, you know, he's saying, as long as you're open and you're receptive and you're growing and, you know, we're taking an upward spiral, I'm with you all the way. But as soon as you, you know, put the brakes on that and choose a different path or you want to embrace the lower stuff, then he said, have fun with that. And I'll come back when you're done, you know.
You know, that actually is very harmonious with, again, another spiritual principle that I was taught, is that giving the person the freedom to choose whether or not they're going to do anything. I chase no one. It's not my job.
Oh, yeah.
I have plenty of healing to do on self.
Yeah.
And plenty of healing to do about deprogramming all the crap that I was given and undoing all the hypnosis that I've been subjected to. And I'm in the middle of this process. And for me to try and illuminate something for somebody, and I've just recently had this experience that I have a person that I really care for that is going to clearly kill himself. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I have sat down for hours and pointed out the train wreck coming, and he can't see it. And it was really difficult to let go of what I saw coming. But the thing is that for me to try and steer him away from that is robbing him of a very sacred spiritual lesson that he needs to learn.
Yeah.
So this is what was difficult. In essence, I was attempting to steal from him something that he required for his progression.
Exactly. And that's a good note for that one, because, you know, that's what I've seen too, is that, you know, constantly we try to pull people out of the train wreck. And because we love them or we care for them or we just want the best for them. And you really want them to reach their highest potential or ascend and get off this rock and get out of this mess. But, You know, maybe the train wreck is part of their ascension process. And all the energy you put in there to avoid the train wreck, they usually wreck anyway. You know, they usually take it anyway. So it's like you'd be better off just pushing them on the tracks or
accelerating them.
Yeah, get it over with, you know. Don't take me with you. I've already been on this train wreck. I already understand it. You know, I see the train ahead coming at you, and I see where your choices and actions are taking you, and I've already been on this train wreck, you know. And so, you know, I don't know. That's what I'm feeling lately. It's like, don't waste my time and energy, and don't take me on the train with you. You're welcome to get on my train, and it's a different train without a big wreck ahead. But, you know, if you want to go on that train wreck, then that's what you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely, and get the lesson that comes out of that. You know, this comes back to what love really is, and I think it's worth stating again, unconditional acceptance. And that's acceptance without conditions.
Yeah.
It's that simple. It does, and we have so many definitions that are out of alignment regarding what love really is. And I find it amazing because I still get sucked into some of these old definitions and these old ideas, the old programming, and I find myself doing stuff, and it, usually what I'm very grateful for right now, it doesn't last that long anymore. I realize, something's out of alignment because I'm back in fear, and, you know, that I'm not going to get what I want, or I think something I have is going to be taken from me.
Or I'm afraid to let it go and create a vacuum for something else to come in and take its place.
Right.
You know,
and that's very, very important.
One thing I was going to ask you, so to me it's like I've been really looking at this whole thing, and to me it's like, let's take an extreme example, and let's say, you know, you have a friend and you're living with that friend, mm-hmm. and that friend's like an alcoholic. They're very deceptive, very angry, very confused. Let's say they could be violent, and you know, and let's say like your friend, they want to kill themselves, but you know, and they've got a pistol and 2 6-packs of beer on the table, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
I have a really hard time loving that person unconditionally. I can from a distance, but I'd want them out of my living room and out of my kitchen.
That's being a sovereign being with boundaries.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
your right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's an extreme example there, but, and there's a lot of lesser examples, but, you know, when you see people.
But here's what is absolutely important to understand about this, is that by pushing them away, you intensify the energy they need to look at. It's not, it's worthwhile stepping back and looking at the bigger picture.
Uh-huh.
And people really talk about something and they just casually mention this, and it's mind-boggling, and it goes back to the programming that we've all been subjected to.
Yeah.
Mind, body, spirit.
Uh-huh.
That's backwards.
Yeah.
We're spirit first, with consciousness and a vehicle, a body.
Yeah.
So, you know, it blows my mind when they talk about mind, body, spirit seminars. Just them, and those are supposedly awakened people, they have it backwards.
Yeah. Hey, we're up at the end of the hour, so I'm going to have to sign off. I want to give one quick little story, though. It's pretty funny.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with my clock. It's dying. But down in Mexico, the last night I
time
was there.
Time is dying. It's disappearing.
Yeah. Last night in Mexico, I was there. It was so funny. This guy comes and the guy rented a room to one of the guys in the upstairs of this four-tiered place I was staying at, beautiful place. So he rents a room to this guy. The guy comes in at 2 a.m, drunker than shit, stays up till 4, slamming doors, talking gibberish, you know, can't even form sentences. Two guys carry him home, drop him off, and then say, okay, I'm out of here, go to sleep. The guy won't go to sleep. Stays up till 4 or 5 in the morning, keeps everybody awake. And then, so we get up about 11 o'clock to catch my plane, and this friend of mine, Chris, comes up, and he goes, hey, you ready to go? And this guy sticks his head over the wall and says, hey, I'm trying to sleep here. What the hell? Like this, you know? And
right.
And I turn around and I look at this guy and I was going to, and I caught myself and I go, never mind. You know, I go, it's 11 o'clock. You know, Chris goes, it's 11 o'clock. And he goes, I'm trying to sleep here. And I go, come on, Chris, let's go. Just let's get out of here. I need to get on the airport and get out and on a plane and get out of here. And it was so funny because I've been seeing that lately. It's like this total disconnect and total narcissism or total self-centered programs that are going on where people are completely oblivious to how their actions affect others. And then they turn around and project that on what they've done themselves on the same person and try to make them into the bad guy, you know? And I go, this right. is unbelievable. I go, I got to go. I said, I'm not even going to engage this one. I'm not even going to go there. And that was a good release for me too, is not having to be right, not having to engage this person and just moving on, you know?
Absolutely. And I know that you felt this, the remarkable freedom that you
exactly.
get to experience when you let that go.
Yeah. And you just go, you know what? I can't even go there with this one. This is so ridiculous. This is so out of integrity. This is so, I don't know how to say it. It is just so beyond ridiculous that I'm out of here. I'm not even going to play with this energy at all. And it was very freeing and very empowering. But, you know, on that note, we gotta close this up. I can't thank you enough for calling. And I'm sure I'll be talking to you again real soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, James. And I want to personally thank you for all that you've done and all you're doing for humanity. It may not be seen on a large scale in a big picture kind of sense, but there are so many people out there now working so diligently to bring in and empower this new paradigm that's showing up now. The energies are here. And it's time for all of us to go with the flow in this river of light and let go of the banks and go with it.
Yeah. And two, you know, it's time to be authentic. You know, forget about all the little affirmations and everything else. You know, it's time to be authentic and just really, you know, step up to the plate now. And you know, we have to live according to these universal principles if we're going to pull this one off and basically, that's just the way it is. But anyway, I've got to sign off. Thanks for calling. And
thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. It's James Gillen signing off. Have a great evening, folks. And pass this interview on. People need to know about this network and what's really going on and the shift and how they can extricate themselves out of this network. And And it's time to be brutally honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, our choices
and my
and
love
actions.
And gratitude to all.
Exactly. But anyway, have a good night.
Okay. Take care. Bye.